I've chosen this passage, which is traditionally read on this, the third Sunday after Epiphany, to help us to continue to think about this morning's theme of hope, and specifically the hope that we have in Jesus. As Tricia read to us, this wasn't Jesus' first preaching assignment. We know that before he arrived back in his hometown in Nazareth, he'd been preaching to people throughout the country, particularly around Capernaum, and in their synagogues. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, we read that in the same way that John the Baptist had proclaimed before he was put in prison, Jesus was telling his hearers to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But although Jesus had been preaching elsewhere, this is his first preach in Nazareth. And not surprisingly, the people of his hometown, are eager to hear what he has to say, especially as he's one of their own. No doubt they've heard that he's been performing miracles, healing the sick and driving out evil spirits. Perhaps he'd do something like that whilst he was in Nazareth. They must be really excited. And yet, we hear that by the end of that incident, Tricia read to us, the Nazarenes were attempting to kill Jesus. So, how did things take such a turn for the worse? So much so that Jesus' audience wanted him dead. The townspeople were looking forward to sharing in the limelight of Jesus' fame, because he'd grown up in their town and community, and they undoubtedly hoped to receive a special blessing on his visit to their synagogue. Instead, what they seem to have got was the reading of an old promise of blessing from the book of Isaiah, a short one-sentence sermon, and then a long explanation as to why they weren't able to receive God's special blessings. They must have thought that was a bit of a cheek. Not only would they feel a little shortchanged when Jesus didn't make any effort to demonstrate his special powers of healing, but he also had the audacity to criticize them. So maybe that's why they were really angry. But what was really going on here? Let's back up a bit and look at the scripture that Jesus read out in the synagogue that day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he sat down and began to teach them, saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence." The words he read from the scroll are words of prophecy from Isaiah, written about 700 years before Jesus' day. And in it, Isaiah encouraged the Jewish exiles with God's promise of a savior who would come and rescue them. The original audience for this prophecy was a group of people who had returned to Jerusalem after many generations of foreign exile. An exile ultimately brought about by their disobedience to God. What the exiles found when they arrived in Jerusalem must have been a bit of a shock. The once great city of Jerusalem was in ruins. But the prophet Isaiah started proclaiming the word of the Lord to them, and their hopes began to rise. Isaiah preached comfort to God's people, and they responded with eagerness to that message. So when Jesus chose this particular passage to read to the people of Nazareth It was a reminder to all of them to hope again. After all, they were living under Roman oppression, just as their ancestors had lived under oppression from the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They were ready for some good news. So the people gathered in that synagogue were probably curious about what Jesus meant by proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, or as some translations read, the acceptable year of the Lord. And they might have been interested to know what he meant when he said it was fulfilled in their hearing today. But Jesus' teaching was not what they expected. And they knew immediately that what he was saying was a criticism of them. When he used that same word, acceptable, to describe how prophets in the past had often not been accepted by the Jewish people. And this reminded his listeners of all the times in Israel's past when the Lord's prophets had met with opposition and abuse. Jesus also told them that God's blessing wasn't always just for the Jews. You remember, Jesus gave the examples of Elijah blessing a widow in Sidon, and of Elisha bringing healing to Naaman the leper, a Syrian. Jesus' criticism and refusal to bless them with miracles makes the Nazarenes so angry they are unable to hear that amazing good news that after 700 years, God has finally sent their Saviour. When Jesus told them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your presence," his listeners should have been really excited and amazed. And yet, the hearts of those present were distracted by the context of the announcement, and they failed to grasp the importance of that news. All they can think of is the fact that Jesus, a local boy, has had the audacity to criticize them. They are sadly deaf to the meaning of the scripture and the announcement of its fulfillment. And so they miss out on the promise of God's word. They miss out on the hope that Jesus has brought them. We saw in our all-age reflection with the children earlier that our hopes are often fixed on the things we would like, the things we think we need. And we certainly hope for good things for ourselves rather than for unpleasant things. In today's passage, Jesus' audience is hoping to hear or see something pleasant, something to their advantage, perhaps a special blessing or a miracle. But instead, they only hear words of condemnation, and so they miss the promise that Jesus has brought them, a promise of a prophecy fulfilled at last. Well, it's easy for us to criticize the Nazarenes in hindsight for their failure to miss the hope that Jesus brings to them. But it's easy for us too, as Christians, to read familiar words of scripture, finding comfort in their very repetition, but fail to take in the true meaning for ourselves. Sometimes we forget the way those words impacted our lives the first time we really heard them and knew that they applied to us. We too can get distracted by our outward circumstances or by other people's attitudes, and we miss the personal promise that comes to us in God's word. So I hope we look more closely at these words that Jesus read from Isaiah. Let's unpack them and remind ourselves of their importance to our lives and to the lives of all Christian believers down the ages. First of all, we should note that Isaiah's prophecy is about Jesus. Jesus is the me who is anointed with the Spirit of the Lord, who preaches good news to the poor, who proclaims freedom for the prisoners, and who restores sight to the blind. God's plan of salvation is all about Jesus. Jesus is God's anointed servant, and without Jesus, it's impossible for us to receive God's salvation. Jesus, speaking through the words of Isaiah, speaks to us of the good news of God's plan of restoration for humankind. Again, notice who will benefit from the good news of salvation. It will be the poor, not the rich or the beautiful, the healthy, the privileged, but those right at the bottom of society, those who are disregarded and have no rights, those who have little and have nothing to lose. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the good citizens of Nazareth couldn't receive the good news or experience any miracles in their midst. Perhaps they were just too comfortable, and perhaps also just a little too proud of their heritage as God's chosen people. Sadly, personal pride and a feeling of self-satisfaction and well-being can still be barriers to people today in receiving and accepting the good news of Jesus. Through the words of Isaiah, Jesus proclaims that he has been sent to release those who are prisoners or captives, and those suffering from oppression, and those who are blind, those who need sight. Although we could take this to mean physical release or healing, it may also be understood in the context of spiritual release from oppression, imprisonment, and blindness caused not by harsh government or injustice or an accident of birth, but by our enslavement to sin. Isaiah was probably thinking of the Jews in exile when he spoke of captives, but Jesus has now come to release all those who are captive to sin. He has come to break the bonds of sin that bind us and destroy the power of Satan over us. Whilst we were oppressed by the cares and anxieties of this life, imprisoned by our desires and captivated by worldly possessions, we were blind and unreceptive to God's plan of salvation. But since Jesus sacrificed his life for us on the cross, all that has changed. Jesus has come to break us free from Satan's imprisonment. That day in the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus proclaimed liberty for the captive and went on to pay for that liberty with his very own life. Where once we were powerless in the grip of sin, unable to do anything to change our situation, Jesus came and released us from captivity once and for all. Praise God. This is the hope we have in Jesus. This special hope, not the hope of material gain, but the hope that he has brought us by his death. We have been saved and set free from the shackles of sin, and we have new life in him. A life we can now live in all its fullness, in the knowledge of complete forgiveness and perfect redemption. We have been raised to a new life, and more than 2,000 years later, Jesus still proclaims good news to the poor, release to the captive, and freedom to the oppressed. The time of God's favor is still being fulfilled in our hearing right here and now. Jesus is our only hope. I like to think of it as hope with capital letters. Not the hope of having good things like material possessions, but the hope that fills our lives with trust in God. Lives we can now spend walking closely with him, knowing that we have the hope of eternal life when this life is over. The good people of Nazareth were looking for confirmation that God's blessing was on them as his chosen people, and they missed the blessing of God's purposes for all peoples through Jesus. So now that we have received this hope for ourselves, let's make it our business to bless others by sharing this good news with our friends, family, and community, being Jesus to all through our words and our deeds, so that all may experience his love and the ultimate hope that is found in him. In the words of Hebrews 10, 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.